Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. This is Rini at Rini's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by. It's Friday, so we're going to do a recap on what we talked about throughout the week. And taking us back to Monday, we very sadly talked about the young girl who took her own life because she had been being harassed by upwards of 15 girls for a very, very, very long time. And when she confided in her mom took her out of the school, tried to help at school, but of course school didn't do anything because really they can't. We've talked about that a lot of times as well. But she ended up going to another school, and the bullying and the harassment continued on today's technology. They text her, they Facebooked her, they ridiculed her and picked on her for whatever reasons. You know, since we talked about that story and many other stories like it, I've given this a lot of thought. And as usual, I have to wonder what's in the heads of these other young people. And I guess what conclusion I come to is that their problems, their shortcomings, their daily fears are some of the things that drive them to do some of the foolishness that they do. Picking on someone else who obviously is affected by it seems to give them some kind of inner strength, make them feel like somehow they're in charge. They don't feel like they're in charge of their own lives, but because they're centering all of their attention on one other kid, then it makes them feel somehow more in charge. So it kind of speaks very loudly to the fact that, again, we need to work on ourselves instead of pointing out or digging for the flaws in others. We did a lot of talking about the technology that's used today. I see on TV every morning, on the news shows that I enjoy watching, they talk about their Twitter accounts and their Facebook accounts. I enjoy Facebook too. I considered signing up for Twitter and just haven't gotten around to doing it yet. I suppose because what I'm trying to do, it would be smart for me to get involved in every social media, so I can hopefully spread the good word, not the bad word. So I'm going to, I guess I should look into that. I should find out what I can do to maybe put a positive spin on some of the social media that's out there. On my Facebook page, I've talked about this before, I have people that I've known for many, many years that have a tendency to be very negative. And I know these people, and I know, I can almost tell what kind of a day they're having as to what they post. If they're okay, they post cute jokes, funny stories, beautiful pictures, everything is upbeat. If they're feeling angry about something that's happening in their lives, then I see them complain about politics, complain about the way the world is set up to take care of other people that we often, if we're feeling a little bit sorry for ourselves, think should be taking care of themselves because we are. So it's an interesting kind of a merry-go-round that we watch turning in front of us all the time, and the different stands everybody takes on a daily basis. I have some friends who never and I mean this, I have never seen them post or say anything negative. I admire those people a lot because I'm sure they have negativity in their lives. But they choose to talk about, advertise, and support the good stuff in their lives, which is a wonderful lesson for all of us. I'm going to bring Shelley in so we can recap this week. And as I said, we're on Monday and we're talking about the young girl who took her life because she was being harassed by upwards of 15 other girls. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Reenie. How you doing?
How are you? I'm okay. Yeah.
Good.
That's good. So we're going to do a recap, and I've talked a little bit about what we talked about Monday, and you weren't on the show that day, and what I did talk about was the young girl that after almost a year of being harassed by more than 15 girls, she took her own life, and she participated in leaving this world in the social media. She referred to herself, she changed her name, her media name, to Dead Girl, and actually told a boy, and it doesn't really explain her relationship to the boy, whether the boy was a boyfriend or just a friend boy or what the deal was, but she told him that she was tired of it and she was going to take her life, and indeed she did. But we talked a lot about how so much of the harm and the unkindness today is taking place on social media. And I know you don't participate too much in Facebook. I go on Facebook at least twice a day. Sometimes it's only on my phone. But I like to hear from old friends, and if something's going on and somebody needs a little bit of support sometimes, I like to not miss that. And I like to always know whose birthday it is, which is a nice thing. We tend to forget birthdays when we get to be our age, and Facebook helps us remember whose birthday it is every day. So all those things I love about the social media. However, I do see quite often people that I know are good people saying stuff that they shouldn't be saying. And usually it's critiquing other people, which is, of course, one of our biggest downfalls. Talking about decisions that are being made on a daily basis by people who are in a position to make them. And we have a tendency to pass judgment on that and talk about that on Facebook and Twitter and what have you. And then, of course, there's the world of movie stars and entertainers. Their Twitter and Facebook accounts have become free publicity. So it's gotten much bigger than I think anybody ever thought it was going to get. Have you ever read anything on Facebook that has surprised you from somebody that you know and care about, and they've put something on Facebook that you're like, oh my God, what are they thinking?
Yes, I have. And it does surprise me that, understanding that once it goes there, you can't pull it back off, that people aren't a little bit more careful with what they put in print. You know, I mean, it's irresponsible to blurt things out emotionally, but we all do it. I've done it. I've said things that once the words left my mouth, I was like, oh my God, why did I just say that? You know, but at least you're in a controlled environment and you can say, wait a minute, I didn't mean that to come out the way it did. Let's start over. You know, but once you put it in print, now you're sharing it with perfect strangers. It's permanent. It's just out there forever. And I don't understand why people don't think about that before they put something mean or nasty or negative out there, because then it's there forever, and it's part of their contribution, you know. And that's how I look at it, because what you say does impact other people. So why not be careful? And why would you want to tear another human being down? Like you said, this is something that's with this current genre. I mean, it was happening when I was a kid, but not to the extent it is today. Kids don't even seem to care if they push another kid into doing something really, really awful, you know. It's almost like they get off on the suffering, and I don't understand it. I don't understand the mindset. I don't understand the lack of sensitivities of these kids, and I absolutely believe that it's because they're not okay with themselves. Somebody that feels good about themselves, somebody that is self-confident, takes no enjoyment in tearing another human being down. It's just not in their makeup. So that shows me that all these kids that are supposedly popular and then trying to act like they own the school are really insecure, and they're doing these things to kind of like solidify their position or solidify their popularity by getting this attention and having people rally behind them. Why not solidify your position or your popularity by doing good things? Why does it always have to turn to the negative and by ripping somebody else down? So this doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, like I said, I'm sorry to say, but I'm pretty sure this is the reason, and that's because you feel bad about yourself and misery loves company. The sad part about it is when I was a kid, somebody wanted to defame you in some place. It was either written on the bathroom wall at school or the local drive-in, or sometimes even in a Woolworth's bathroom or something like that. I can remember seeing graffiti everywhere as a kid. And Facebook, in my opinion, has taken the place of graffiti. And a lot of times the stuff that you read is just harmful, doesn't serve anyone except to do harm to someone else. And I think it's a shame, but it's not like it's something new. Like I said before, it just got written on a bathroom wall. I mean, that's a big joke. You know, you've heard me, and I know you've said it before too, you know, something to one of our girlfriends messing with them or for a good time call so-and-so at. We'd all laugh about the things that used to be written on the walls in bathrooms and what have
right.
you. And,
exactly,
and on a wall,
exactly.
You know, there used to be a wall at school. And, of course, big cities, graffiti, cost them a small fortune on a yearly basis to keep cleaned up. So it's really old. It's just that now we have technology that allows us to write harmful graffiti on an instrument that has the ability to travel hundreds of thousands of miles. And
right.
It's very hurtful. And it is very, very unnecessary. Instead, it could be being used to do the things that you and I are trying to do and other people are trying to do, and that is help and make some repairs to the world psyche and put it in a place that helps them value themselves and the people around them and value the fact that they're here. You know, if you were to find out tomorrow, if you woke up tomorrow and found out that you had a deadly disease of some kind and you were going to leave this world and there's nothing that can be done for you, are you proud of who you've been and what you've done? Are you proud of the relationships you've made with others? Are you proud of the times that you've put your hand out to help someone else? Or are you ashamed of your self-centeredness? Are you ashamed of the fact that you rarely think about doing something for someone else, that you rarely put your hand out? And if somebody comes to you and needs you and tells you that they need you, are you there for them? Or do you say, you know, I'm sorry, but that's just not my responsibility. Or I can't help you because I don't want to get involved. I've heard these statements from people. I've heard these kind of feelings come from people, even, like I said, on Facebook. And yet, it always amuses me and amazes me to see the very next day that same person will say something and I think, oh, my God. You know, and
what
we know
thinking.
Yeah, we know people that flip-flop like, you know, a mackerel on a stock. You know, they one minute they're good and they're kind. Of course, it all has to do with what's going on in their life personally. But imagine if you were going to leave tomorrow. And if you believe in the pearly gates, and if you believe that before you go into something better, what if somebody's standing there and says, okay, Renee, what did you do? What are you proud of and what aren't you proud of? Do you have good answers? If you don't have good answers, maybe you need to think about it. Maybe you need to think about what you've done and what you haven't done. I mean, for me, if you're 15 years old, and there's already things piling up on that other list that says there's lots of things that you've done that you're not real proud of and would really like it if your grandmother doesn't see it, for instance, then maybe you need to rethink how you're behaving and how you're treating other people. I don't know what else to say to young people other than, you know, I mean, I have these talks with my grandchildren all the time about being kinder and being being more aware of other people's feelings. A lot of times that is the biggest culprit, is their unawareness. You know, I can't believe you said something like that. Do you not know how badly you just hurt that person? Well, it's not a big deal. Oh, Grandma, you're overreacting. Nobody cares about stuff like that. Believe me, people care. And if you're doing things on a daily basis that hurts somebody or anybody else's feelings, you need to rethink what you're saying and doing. And certainly if you're honing in, zeroing in as a part of a group on one individual, what in the hell are you thinking? Who gave you that right to begin with? And how would you like to reverse that and have you be the target? I don't think anybody wants to be the target.
Well, because any time they are the target, which has happened to all of us at one point or another, okay, it stings. It feels lousy, you know. Now, if you have somebody that's got a good self-esteem, you'll brush it off a little bit better. It still doesn't feel good, and you still have an initial reaction to it. But when you get somebody who's also not in a good place with themselves, that can push them over the edge.
Absolutely, and does on a daily basis.
That's right. That's right.
Statistics show, of course, the stuff that I read yesterday, I had actually made me physically ill yesterday. A lot of stuff that I didn't read on the show, I can't get out of my mind. And it just shows me that in every corner of the world, in any given moment, somebody is tormented beyond compare. And it makes all the little piddly things that you get upset about on a daily basis seem, you know, ridiculous and, you know, make me, maybe that's how I should address this, the way it makes me feel is like, in a lot of cases, like I should be ashamed of myself. There are days that I get up and I think to myself, Jesus, what else can happen today? And when I do have an attitude like that, inevitably something does happen.
Right.
So it is, you know, it is how you set yourself up, you know.
Right.
And it is how you handle yourself in regard to the things that do hit you. But I think it's incredibly dangerous, the fact that we are very kind of like hack-minded. The more people that we have to support our poor behavior, the more poor behavior we participate in. So if you are a part of a group of people that's doing something that you know is going to hurt somebody else and you really have no reason that you can even think of or write down on a piece of paper that says, this is why I'm going to gang up on Renee today, well, then leave me the hell alone. You know, I think we need to start thinking for ourselves, especially when we're 15 and 16, than following the crowd and doing what everybody else is doing.
Right. Well, it's like if it's you, the same thing, like the gang mentality. How many times have we seen gangs just do horrifically violent things that any individual within that gang would never do if they were by themselves? It's almost like they feed each other and they take it to a heightened level of cruelty that the individual members of the gang would never have gone to. And it's almost like they feed that awfulness, whether it's physical violence or emotional cruelty within a group, it expands. It becomes exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It grows. It's like bacteria. You know, you have one little spot of bacteria on something, and unless somebody cleans it up and disinfects it, the bacteria grows. And it's the same with bad behavior and poor thought process. If you think it's okay in any part of your day to intentionally go out of your way to make somebody else's day worse, shame on you. Personally, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy struggling, right, trying to make things on an even keel for Rini and the people that I feel responsible for. To go out of my way to make somebody else feel miserable, I don't even have time for that.
And, you know, and a lot of times it only takes one person within the group to get the rest of the group, you know, stepping back and looking at what they're doing and to kind of, like, stop it. Nobody seems to have the strength of character to say, hey, you know, guys, this isn't cool what we're doing. I don't want to be part of it anymore. The minute you have one person do that, a lot of times the rest of them will realize it, but they're afraid of being ridiculed and then being at the opposite end of that. I remember when I was, I think I was 18, a bunch of friends of mine had gone out, and I was like one of the youngest ones in the group, and you've known me long enough. I have a very strong personality, and when things are right, they're right, and when they're wrong to me, you know, and I have no issues speaking up. I don't care if people like me when it comes to right and wrong. And we had gone out to a diner. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We had all been out drinking. We stopped at a diner to get something to eat before we all went home. There was like 12 of us. And the guy I was dating at the time forgot his license. He had left it at home. So he wanted to get another beer. We're all getting coffees. He wanted another beer. The waitress wouldn't serve him because he didn't have his license, and she didn't know how old he was. And he got vile with her. I mean, the language he was using, I'm not going to repeat it on the air, he got vile with this poor waitress. It was his fault he didn't have his license, and he was taking that out on her. And the rest of my friends were laughing while he was, like, tearing this poor waitress apart. You could tell she didn't even want to come to our table anymore because every time he came here, he said something really vulgar. Well, I took this for about maybe 15 minutes. The last time she came over, she'd already taken our food order. I lost my temper with my friends. And I took money out of my wallet. I didn't even wait for the food to come. I took money out of my wallet because every time she came to the table, he had to say something really, really unwarranted to her. And I looked at her right in front of my friends, and I said, I don't know what's wrong with my friends. I said, I am so sorry. I said, I'm apologizing to you on behalf of everybody sitting at this table. I said, because I'm appalled. And you got to understand, I'm like 18 years old. I said, I'm appalled by the way my friends are acting. I said, and I took the money, and I put enough money down on the table to pay for everybody's food. I said, I'm not waiting for our food. I'm so sorry that you've already had it made. I'm not going to get you stuck with the food bill. So I handed the money to her, and I left, right in front of all my friends. They didn't even know what to do with themselves. They ended up all leaving, beating me out in the parking lot. I was so upset with my friends because nobody stood up against. I'm waiting for one of the other guys to say, Paul, knock it off. That's not cool, man. And they were sitting there laughing at him, like encouraging him. And the more they laughed, the worse he got. So instead of one of the guys saying, Paul, knock it off. That's not nice, man. The more they laughed, the more he went with it. And I think if one of the other guys had said anything, so I told him all off in the parking lot. I said, I will never go out with any of you again if you don't know how to treat other people decently. And I remember this as clear as bell. And they all apologized to me. And from there on out, we could go in diners and stuff. And they all acted. I mean, we were all, they were older than me. They were like 19, 20, and 21. I think the oldest in the group was 21. Mm-hmm. But they, after that, they, it's like that one incident set the tone for our group. And from there on out, they treated people who were in those types of positions much nicer and all that. But it's me, I'm the youngest one in the group, and I spoke up, you know. But the fact is that I didn't care whether or not they liked me after that because I was so upset with the way they were treating this poor waitress, you know. And,
well, because
and the waitress actually met me at the doorways and told me that I took a night that was turning out to be one of her. She was actually thinking of quitting as a waitress because she couldn't handle what Paul was doing to her. And she met me at the doorway, and she said, you just turned one of the worst nights I was ever having into the best night. She said, to see somebody like you that would stand up to their friends, she says, I have a whole new faith in people again. And she actually thanked me.
Well, I think, oh, this week I watched a couple videos, and the gang mentality that you were talking about, it only takes one person to pull everybody back because, as a rule, we're really not all that horrible. But
right.
Not all of us are leaders either. So if there's nobody like you in a group like that, they can all slide down the other side of that proverbial hill.
Right.
There was a thing on the other, I just caught the end of it. I walked into one of the other rooms in the house and my husband was watching, I want to say Asia. It looked like some kind of a military school or something. And this officer was reprimanding a young man. And here stands, like, looking at him and slapping him in the face. And continually, not three slaps, not 10 slaps, like 50 to 100 slaps across the face, hard slaps, enough to knock him off his feet a couple times. And all these people, because this man was evidently in charge, didn't question his behavior.
Wow.
And it just, the way I was like, what the, I guess I would be, the first couple slaps, I would be stunned and I might not do anything. But after about the fifth slap, I'd be like, hey, enough is enough. What are you doing? You know, because somebody, and then, you know, what happens to the person that is on the dishing out end, the slapper, not the slappy, he gets right into it and gets going on, you know, something that's in all of us, which is very, very scary. He was out of control.
Right.
And until somebody spoke with a voice of reason, he wasn't going to stop, and nobody stopped it, Shelley. I mean,
oh,
I don't
God.
Know how long it went on because they, you know, they eventually, you know, took it off the screen. But for the whole time that the commentator was talking about what took place, and I don't even know who videoed it, but it was outrageous. But it just made me think of how many times I've seen a group of people watch something happening and not move a muscle, not do anything to somebody else or to something that they knew good and well wasn't right. I don't know that everybody has the ability to step up. I get that. And I understand that some people fear and not feeling like it's their place. Often makes them make the wrong decision. But, again, what if that was you? Wouldn't you hope that if you were so scared and thought you were supposed to stand there and take it, that somebody else spoke up and said, okay, she gets the point. Quit hitting her.
Right.
Even if we grow up in a world that says, you know, if we do something wrong, we're supposed to suffer the consequences. If you're going to play, you're going to pay. I mean, there's a million old sayings about, you know, how if you're going to do something, be prepared to suffer the consequences, right? I mean, we hear that from the time war, too. If you touch
the hot stove, if you're going to do the crime, then you have to do the time. All those things.
You know, all those old sayings. So we grow up with that in our heads and in our hearts, knowing that, you know, we're in a place. I mean, I can just imagine if you're in a place that is like the military, where there's very strict rules and very strict regimentation, and the man that's in charge of you, who's trying to make a man or a woman out of you, then, you know, you have to kind of like say yes sir, yes ma'am, yes sir, yes ma'am, because you know you've done something wrong. But there's a point when enough is enough. And if you don't feel like you've convinced yourself that you've really done something wrong and you deserve this, enough is enough. You don't deserve to get, you know, slapped 50 times, anything, let's face it. And, you know, we've talked about this with domestic abuse as well. And, of course, all the things that I read yesterday. So, at any rate, this particular story on Monday was about kids and was about into the social media to harass, bully another young person. She was only 12 years old, by the way, and some of the kids that were picking on her were considerably older. So some of this bullying started when she was like 11. 11 is usually like fifth grade, I believe. That's very, very young, and very sad that we're getting to the point where we have to worry about elementary school now. I keep tabs on AJ. He tells me every day if anything is going on at school, and I hope we never lose that communication, because I worry about that. Because he's a very sweet boy, but he wouldn't be above getting caught up in the excitement of fighting with somebody or something, because he's a little boy. I worry about that. Now, Tuesday, which correlates with this, we have a young man who has gotten involved in the military. And now there's all kinds of stories coming out that we didn't talk about on Tuesday. But he's the young man who walked into the naval base in Washington, D.C. and killed 12 people, injured 8 people, and then he was shot. Now, I just heard early this morning that somebody had an incident with him and found him to be very unbalanced and reported it, and nobody did anything about it. But here you have, again, probably a young man who had some disabilities, some problems with fitting in, and was ridiculed for it. And it pushed him over the edge. And this is what he did. This was his answer. You're all going to pick on me? Well, see how you like this. Can you not see how somebody would go there? I can.
Right. Right. Well, you know that he was one of the facts that came out. I didn't hear you talking about it in any of the articles you did, but I had read another article on this, is that he only had a shotgun. He didn't have an AK, whatever they said he had. He didn't have one of the military rifles. First of all, they said that was miscovered in the news.
Yeah.
And the other thing
is
that he was on psychiatric medication.
Yep. So here's somebody who's put into a be able to literally shoot from the hip, and he's got psychological problems, which, of course, today is rampant. I mean, and, of course, we've talked about this a lot. Risperdal. Am I saying it right? Risperdal? They just called back on. I think, isn't that, am I saying it right, Shelley? Risperdal? R-I-S-P-E-R-D-A-L?
Yeah, I mean, I know which drug you're talking about. I mean, it sounds close. I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation, but I know which one you're talking about, and I think everybody else would know also.
Well, they just did a callback on that because it's giving young boys. Been hundreds of thousands of dollars paid out to 7 and 8 year old boys who have been put on it by the time they reach going boobs. So the repercussions from all of these things that we start giving to kids so that we can gain control of them, which is all it's about, those kind of drugs never leave a kid's system. Does everybody get that? Change a kid internally, you change a kid on the outside as well. You change how they things, how things manifest in their little heads, all of those kind of things. You're messing with body to a point, you know, you can make some horrible mistakes. We're having some real issues this morning on the phone. Are you hearing that?
Well, I'm not hearing. I don't know if you can hear me right now, but I'm not hearing any noises. But I keep losing you. My antenna is full, and yet you keep blanking out like I don't hear what you're saying. But I'm not hearing any sounds.
Well, I'm hearing like a really strong static. Although right this second, it seems to be better. But I had you on speakerphone, so I didn't have to hold the phone up to my ear. Maybe that was the problem. Sometimes if there's some kind of other interference. And, of course, I'm sitting at my desk where I have two cell phones and a camera all plugged in, so maybe the interference from that is a problem.
I think there's just interference on lines right now. I think some of the major companies are doing work. At least this is the feedback I'm getting. We called Sprint recently because that's our carrier, and we're just having a terrible time with dropped calls, and I'll be in the middle of talking to somebody, and I'm talking to people with other carriers. I'm talking to people that have T-Mobile and that have AT&T, so it's not all Sprint because it's happening to me when I talk to other people. And all of a sudden I'm talking, and I feel like I'm on a party line. I can hear other people talking, or I hear other sounds that sounds like there's somebody else on the call, or I hear like boxes being dragged across the floor. I mean, some of the sounds are bizarre, you know? And then sometimes my call will drop shortly after these distracting noises. So there's stuff going on in cell phone land, and I don't know what it's from, but there's a lot of cross connections happening more than ever before.
Well, I'll go along with that, and I think that you're right. I think it's all of the all the different things that are out there. I mean, it's not just people having laptops and cell phones anymore. It's iPads and iPods and all different kinds of reading, the Kindles and the, I can't even think of the names of all of them, but there's like a million different things you can use today to be in touch. So, it doesn't surprise me that there's some interference. But at any rate, so Tuesday when we talked about Aaron Alexis, who there is a lot of controversy about now, but it appears as though he had some issues psychologically. And one of the comments that I heard, a quote from his mother was, "I don't know, I can't ask him now." You know, so I found that to be incredibly sad.
Really
hurt me when she said that, because I could just feel, you know, how she felt about that. And if she's dealt with psychological issues with this man, this young man, all of his life. But of course, then again, you know, somehow or another, somebody has to start stepping up and telling the truth and being honest. And if somebody's got issues like that, they shouldn't be in a position where they can really walk into something that's going to cause a problem like this. This was a big mistake.
One of the things this article said, which I thought was interesting, is the particular person that wrote this article, and maybe I'll send it to you because you might want to get some information maybe for a follow-up. But one of the other things that the author said was that because he's been tracking mass mass shooters, you know, mass murderers that go into these places, they always go into places where the predominance is unarmed civilians, because on some level they do have a sense of self-preservation, that they either want to survive the massacre or they want to survive long enough to create a massacre. And they said that he went into an area of the base where there really were no weapons. The guards had to be called into the area. And so he found that interesting, that when he looks at all the other mass shootings that have happened, they always happen in unprotected civilian areas, so that they can basically pick off as many people as they can. In most cases, the people that they're shooting are not directly responsible for their anger. They're actually angry at a different faction or a different area of the place that they go in, but they go into a place where they can, you know, harm as many people as they can. So they said that this is some sort of, and they put a lot of that on the psychiatric drugs, that it causes a lack of appropriate reasoning. So they want vengeance, but they're taking vengeance out on the wrong people. And it skews their ability to reason. You know, vengeance in itself isn't a good thing, you know, but if Joe Blow over here does something really, really, really awful to you and you take action at Joe Blow, no violence is ever justifiable, but it's almost like, all right, well, he went overboard, but okay, it's between him and Joe. So no, these people are going in and killing innocent people. And it's actually a mental aberration that is brought about by a lot of these psychiatric drugs. It skews their reasoning abilities, and they actually think what they're doing is justifiable.
Well, what about self-preservation, though, Shell? I mean, what about the fact that most of us are smart enough to know that if we walk in someplace where there's nobody that can fight back, we're going to be the winner?
Right.
I mean, you know, that for me is like almost like a no-brainer. If you're wanting to make a point because you think nobody ever cared, nobody, not just the perpetrators, but the people that were standing on the sidelines, like I just said about the kid that was getting slapped.
Right.
Somehow or another, he's going to make himself believe that the man that was slapping him was doing it for a reason, in some way, shape, or form. But all those other people who stood right there and watched, folks are more hurt by them than you are the person that you believe has a reason for being angry with you. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yes. It's like women that are the victims of incest and more angry with their mothers than with their fathers, because they believe that the father had some illness they couldn't get over, but the mother knew about it and should have stopped it.
Exactly. It's the same idea. You're exactly right. And that's a good analogy to bring up, because we've talked about that 100 times, and every time anybody has ever shared a problem with me, that has been the consensus. You know, they almost always hate their mom. Hate them, really hate them, and never forgive them. This is falling, and everything we talk about, somebody gets picked on, it's relentless and pushed. Eventually, they push back. And sometimes it's just themselves that they hurt, because they think that, you know, that I'm gone, or you were so mean to me, I hope you get to live with this the rest of your life. I took my life because of you. You know, it all depends on somebody's mindset. And then you have the person who's going to say, okay, you know, here you go, and just go crazy on everybody. So, buddy. And singling out somebody to harass them and pick on them, you create very different situations where something like this could happen. Now,
right.
Let's move on to Wednesday. Wednesday, of course, was hump day, and we talked about the repercussions from Hurricane Sandy, in particular in Jersey. And I did hear back from my friend, who explained to me that there has been no a fire that they talked about that should have been taken care of by insurance and might have been taken care of by the monies raised for actual Hurricane Sandy. There's lots of I don't know, conversation about what was done and what wasn't done, if the electric was fixed prior to or afterwards and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of mixed emotions about who should be taking care of that. And then I read her letter, the one that was so articulate and so good. She actually manages some stuff there on the seashore and has been a life there. But again, there's another part of our world damaged, hurt, and those millions and billions of dollars that were raised, and there's still, almost a year later, people sitting in a place where they're not comfortable yet, where they don't have a place to call their own, where they're still, for all intents and purposes, out in the storm, and people are sitting on this trying to figure out how to divvy it up. Now, we always try to look at both sides of it. Oh, this phone's driving me crazy. There's probably a lot to be said for the people that are in the position to make these decisions, and it's probably very confusing, very convoluted with all the different people that need something and the people that need more than others, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't want to assume that just anybody could step in and make those decisions, because I know that it's much more intricate than that. However, we're talking about a year now. And sometimes even making a wrong call instead of making a no call is the better thing to do.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
It just is. When this much time has gone by.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, if you make a wrong call, depending on how extensive it is, of course, so a lot of times if you make a wrong call, you can kind of adjust things or fix it. But if you make no call, you're just allowing the situation to fester and become worse. I mean, you have to take some action. People become crippled by inaction, which is so much worse than at least moving forward, because you can always turn the corner. You can always adjust things. You can always, and again, that's based on how extensive the decision is. But in most cases, you're taking a step forward, you know, move in one direction or the other. But to just sit there and not do anything, it just creates so much more injury on these people, because they see nothing happening. There's no communication. They can't get answers. And it goes into a holding pattern. It just becomes worse over time.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and a step forward, even if it's in the wrong direction, is often the best move made. A step forward means that you are doing something. And there's nothing more frustrating for the person that's sitting and waiting for something to happen to have nothing happen. And again, it's one of those things, again, that creates episodes like this young man going in and shooting up everybody, or the boy at the schools, or these are the kind of things when people think that they are being pushed aside, covered up, ignored, not taken seriously. Those kind of actions are what make people do these horrific things. And I don't know of anybody that could blame them. I mean, I don't think anybody would condone anybody going in and hurting somebody else that doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in their life. It doesn't even make sense to me, but I'm more normal than a lot of other people, I think. I just feel... I do see their point. You know, I do understand how frustrating it can be when you have made it very clear that you were set out here to help us and I need help. And I've waited in line very patiently. I've waited my turn and I get very close to the front and then everything stops again. And then when we start up again, somebody else jumps in front of me. You ever been in a position like that? Like even in a like the DMV or
they open a new line and the person 8 or 10 people behind you get to shoot over there and you're like, how's that fair? I've been here an hour. They just walked in.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
It's the same type of feeling.
Mhm. And very sadly, it happens a lot. Being a waitress years ago and working counters, right? A counter, people jump in and jump out of the seats like nobody's business. Sometimes they're just there for a cup of coffee. Sometimes you're tending a very busy bar and they're just there for a quick beer or a quick soda or something like that, and they jump in and out. If you are not good at what you're doing, you absolutely positively will miss somebody who sat down because maybe they're in the same color suit or maybe they have the same color hair and you haven't really connected with anybody because you're trying to take care of, you know, a lot of coming and going. So unless somebody can look at you and say, excuse me, I'm next, which most people don't do, they get pissed and say something worse than that because they wait too long, then it starts a problem. But in a big situation like Sandy, like Andrew was here way back in the early 90s, we've struggled here in Florida, like I said before. We had a lot of problems here in Florida after Andrew, not so much here in West Palm or even in Boca or Pompano, but further south was horrible. And if you didn't go down there and see, the first time I drove down there, 2 days after the hurricane, I took people down there that wanted to go down there and work and help. So I loaded up a van and drove, I don't know, like 6 or 8 guys. And by the time we got to West Hollywood and Davie, I was crying because it looked like a war zone. I mean, there were one wall standing where a home used to be, and people had taken spray paint and written on the sides of what was left of their home or a big tree that didn't get felled in their front yard that said, ha ha, I'm still standing, and stuff like that. It was horrific. And I'm sure that that's what Jersey looked like because the pictures that I've seen and because Jersey was so old, just like really, really southern Florida, down in that part of Florida, a lot of homes. You know, if you didn't mark something at your house when you drove back down the street, and if nobody's ever been in a position like this, they don't know this, you can't find your street because there are no street signs.
Wow.
You don't even know if you're where you used to live unless there was something left there that, you know, still standing or a wall, and everybody was told, make sure that you spray paint in your driveway or on any wall that's left or the floor that might be left, the address of where you lived, because there was no way to know where you were. Can you believe that?
Yeah, see, I never experienced that because, I mean, I saw a lot of devastation after the hurricanes of 2004 and 2005. But I didn't see, like, this type of total destruction where half of buildings were gone and stuff like that. I mean, it was a lot of felled trees. We lost one building on the campus because one of the trees fell on it and knocked it into the pond, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I did drive around. I did get the sense of the whole war zone thing because there was no electric and everything was being rationed and the water and you couldn't get gas for a while and stuff. So yeah, and no matter where you're driving, you know, you're driving down what was a main thoroughfare at one time, like Okeechobee Boulevard or something, and there's a tree across the highway, and they're diverting everybody. It's like it was crazy, but mm-hmm. I didn't see the extent going into neighborhoods with the type of damage you're talking about. I can imagine that, and what I did see was very emotional. I remember yeah. us all standing on the grounds at Hippocrates, and everybody's like teary-eyed and choked up, and it was extremely emotional. And you do get that mm-hmm. feeling like you're in the middle of a battleground somehow.
Yeah, yeah. That's the energy in the air. The energy in
right.
the air is one of complete devastation. And mm-hmm. if you are one of those people, and it's gone on, and you're a year later. Imagine, Shelley, a year later. A year is a god-awful long time when you're waiting for something. And some of these people are still without a home, without any kind of, sense of belonging anymore. And
mm-hmm.
some of these people lived in those homes. They're second and third generation, some of them. The homes that
wow.
belonged to their families for all those years. So it was horrible, and I think that it's a shame that we don't have a better ability to organize after such a catastrophe as that.
And you have that petition up on your site, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now, real quick, because we're down to just a few minutes, and then, of course, yesterday, the information that I pulled up, that a lot of it I wouldn't even read because it was so, just so disheartening and so horrible. But I read some more last night, and we have come a ways. One of the things I finally realized while I was reading everything that we are better than we were, which is a nice thought. We're still in trouble. We still have many, many things that we need to figure out how to make them better, but we are better than we were. And, of course, there's a lot more respect. And we've had shows about women and being second-class citizens and things like that, and I still feel very strongly about that. And I also feel very strongly about the fact that we still don't get treated equally. And we will definitely do more shows about that. But as far as the child abuse thing that I read about yesterday, we have come a long way, thank God. And I think most of us care very deeply about the children in the world and understand that they're our future and that how they get treated and how they get taken care of and how they get nurtured will give you a good indication of what the world will be like in another 40 years. So,
by the way, I do have to make one correction. When we were talking yesterday and you had said something about the fact that there were animal protection agencies before there were child protection agencies, and I had explained that one of these vivisectors who used to experiment on live animals in his house, it was actually his wife and his daughter, but I gave the wrong name. Descartes lived in the mid-1600s, and he's known as like the father of modern vivisection, and he was a nut job. I mean, there's all this information about how he lost his mind and stuff later on in years, but yet he's the one who launched modern vivisection. Claude Bernard is the one whose wife and daughter railed against him because of the horrible things he was doing to animals in their house and the types of experiments he did on them, and his wife and his daughter couldn't handle it, and he lived in the mid-1800s. So the
mm-hmm.
first animal protection agencies, we were right on the timeline, but I had the wrong person's name. Claude
okay.
Bernard is the one, his wife, Marie-Francoise Bernard, is the one who got into the animal protection and actually tried to get them to arrest her husband, by the way. And that was
well, I can't imagine even being a part of something like that. That must have been horrific. But we're out of time, but I want to thank everybody for being with us for another week. And next week we've got some pretty good topics, sleep apnea, which I know a lot of people suffer from, cancer, eating disorders, high school sports, and AIDS are going to be our topics next week. So if there's something you'd like to discuss, please call in. 347-989-0352. We look forward to hearing from you. And if you don't want to talk, I know for some reason a lot of people don't want to, you can touch base with me on my Facebook page, which is Reenie Brewer, R-E-E-N-I-E. So everybody out there, have a great day. God bless, and have a wonderful weekend. Bye, Shell. Talk to you soon, sweetie.
All right. Talk to you later, Reen. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.